Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 25,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions when it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom-picked for you, more scheduling flexibility, and at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/TheBarn. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TheBarn.
This is Jackie Stiles, and you are listening to the Knuckleball Primetime.
Knuckleball Primetime, live from the Barn Studio. You got the Mox here, and I'm joined with a special guest online right now. We have Hall of Fame basketball legend Jackie Stiles. Jackie, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us today. It's an exciting time for women's basketball in general. You know, we have all these amazing things happening with women's basketball. You're obviously a basketball legend, so we wanted to reach out to you and kind of get your feeling about what's going on right now and hear about, you know, some of the things that you're involved in.
Well, gosh, Caitlin Clark has been incredible to watch. It's been really fun for me because when I was coaching at Missouri State, she actually said in a media interview that Missouri State was the first recruiter. And I wrote her a letter in middle school because I could just see that she was going to be something special at a really young age. Unfortunately, it didn't help us get her at Missouri State, but, you know, it's been fun following her career and all that she's done for women's basketball. And it's made me relevant again because most people are like, who is that? You know, I'm ancient. But now, you know, every time she was getting close to my record, you know, or, you know, my being on the list, I'm not, didn't hold number one anymore, but, you know, they'd always flash a picture of me up there when she passed me. So, no, I celebrate all that she's accomplished and achieved.
Do you see some of her career sort of paralleling yours? Like, you know, she made the decision to stay in her home state near her hometown, and you did the same when you obviously had offers from some bigger schools. Do you see some parallel between you guys' career?
Most definitely as far as that goes. Yeah, she could have went anywhere in the country, and she chose to stay in her home state. And, you know, everybody, when I made my decision to go to Missouri State, used to be called Southwest Missouri State, everybody was really actually disappointed in my decision. You know, my Final Four were Missouri State, UConn, Kansas State, and Oklahoma. But I just had to follow my heart and do what I felt like was best for me. And, man, it was the best decision of my life. And, you know, she did the same. She followed her heart, even though probably there was a lot of naysayers on, why'd you go there? Why'd you choose Iowa? But I know Lisa Bluter. She plays for a tremendous coach that's been in the game a long time. And, you know, I just truly believe it was, you know, a great fit for her. And, you know, I know that Missouri State was where God called me to be. And I'm so glad I got to be a Bear for 4 years.
Do you feel that there was a little bit more rewarding feeling for you taking a smaller school, you know, all the way to the Final Four and having so much success that you had by, you know, staying close to your hometown and with a smaller school?
Yeah, I mean, it was so special what we were able to accomplish at Missouri State because, I mean, we're considered a mid-major school. And, I mean, this is how hard what we accomplished was. So we made the Final Four our senior year. And, you know, we had one All-American. We were able to beat teams with every player on that team was an All-American like Duke. But what made it so special is how we truly played for each other. And we outworked, you know, every team in the country. I mean, we just worked so hard. And if you're willing to work and you believe, I mean, even through the difficult times and what you're trying to achieve, you can accomplish, you know, pretty much anything. And so I'm not sure. I think it's maybe 23 years now. I'm losing track, but over 20 years since we made that Final Four in 2001. And now, you know, there has not been a mid-major team since. And on the women's side, make a Final Four. So that's how tough, you know, what we accomplished was. But man, it made it so special when you accomplished what most people thought was an impossible dream.
And I'm 42 years old and I'm a Missouri boy. So I remember that time and the excitement down in Springfield. You even said you used to call it Southwest Missouri State, right? That's how I know it. And sometimes still call it that. But now it's just Missouri State. So, you know, we were so proud of you and so proud to have that excitement down there in Springfield and throughout Missouri, really. Did you feel that support when you guys were playing?
Oh, absolutely. And it drove us to be better because, you know, the fans were just tremendous. I mean, we sold out pretty much every game. And when, you know, the community cared like they did and the state of Missouri got behind us and rallied around us, you just want to work that much harder to make them proud. And a guy just had done a movie about my life a couple of years ago. It was called The Jackie Style Story. And I haven't seen a lot of those clips because I'm ancient. There wasn't cell phones when I was in college. And, you know, so video was kind of harder to get and harder to find. And so I saw a lot of those clips with the fans that I hadn't seen. And it was just amazing. The environment was electric. And then the cool thing about making the Final Four senior year was because St. Louis hosted it that year. And so it was like a Cinderella, you know, season to literally get the bus to the Final Four. And I know I'm biased, but I've been to a lot of Final Four since, and I've never seen one with that kind of electricity because there was here this underdog team in their home state. So something I'll never forget for sure.
And then even, you know, several years ago or a few years ago, they unveiled the statue, the Jackie Style statue outside the arena down in Springfield. You know, did you, as a kid growing up, you know, playing basketball and putting all that time of work in, did you ever imagine that one day you would have a statue standing outside of an arena?
Absolutely not. I mean, it makes me blush talking about it. So no, I never in my wildest dreams thought, you know, I would ever have a statue. But to have something like that means that I was surrounded by a bunch of incredible people, because you don't do anything or accomplish anything special without amazing people sacrificing so you could live out your dreams. And I had so many people do that for me, from my family, you know, to the many coaches I had throughout my career, to my teammates. So I truly share, you know, that moment and having that with so many people.
You know, you were a career scoring record holder for an impressive 16 years, right? And then Kelsey Plum comes along and she's the current record holder, which Caitlin is, you know, trying to reach. But I know that you maybe even recruited or tried to recruit Kelsey, or at least saw her early on, and you saw a lot of yourself in her play. You know, what was that like, kind of handing the reins over to her?
Well, yeah, so it's pretty wild because I was actually in my first college coaching job, which is Loyola Marymount. And so I had just gotten hired. And so it was in the summer. So we were in July, and that's the viewing period when colleges could go watch teams. And one of the first teams I watched was Kelsey's team. And instantly I just saw so much of myself in her, like just the same number, similar build, the way she scored. She could take it to the rim. She had the pull-up jumper. You know, she could hit the three, deep range, shoot off the pass, shoot off the dribble. I mean, she's just literally just had no weaknesses offensively and just had that, you know, gift of being able to put the ball in the basket. And I begged my head coach, I was like, I know we might not have a shot with her, because, you know, she was now going into her senior year. So this is pretty late in the recruiting process. And I said, I just have to get her on the phone. And so I was able to get her on the phone and I just said, hey, I never tell anybody this, but I'm the all-time leading scorer and I want to help you break my record. And, you know, I truly meant it. Like, I truly felt like she could do it. So I want to take a little bit of credit for her doing it, because maybe I put that in her mind that that was possible. And it was actually really cool to see her do it, because I know the work that she had to put in day after day, even when, you know, you don't feel like putting the work in, you know, she did it over and over. So it was really cool to see her accomplish that. And again, I celebrate with her and all she's achieving, and she's still having a tremendous career.
And you mentioned the frame, your body frame, body type, being undersized for the position and for the level of play that you were playing at. Do you think that made you play with a little bit of chip on your shoulder, a little bit extra motivation to do well?
Oh, absolutely. And I've always been the underdog kind of throughout my career. So I'm from a town of 600 people. And when I was growing up, everybody said, I need to move to a bigger city to play for a bigger high school to be able to be recruited and play Division I basketball. Then, you know, I choose a mid-major school and they're like, well, you'll never be an All-American, you know, playing at Missouri State. And then it was, you'll never be you'll never make it in the WNBA. You're too small as a shooting guard, because I was 5'8". Most, you know, wing players in the league are 6 foot and over. So I always kind of had that, you know, chip on my shoulder. Like, I just wanted to kind of prove to people that you can do it being from anywhere. You can do it being any size. And I think that's one thing about my story, is it's relatable. I mean, no one has ever seen me on the street and said, "She must play professional basketball." I have never heard that in my life. You know, I just kind of blend in at my camps. I mean, some of the campers are usually bigger than me. So I just think I give hope for people when they see me, that, you know, if she can do it, then I can do it.
Yeah. And then from Southwest Missouri State, right? Or Missouri State, yes. You go on to the WNBA, like you mentioned, end up starting off very hot, rookie of the year. But I would say it's pretty well known that your career from then was really plagued by injuries. I mean, multiple surgeries, multiple times you were out for long periods of time. You know, looking back on that, I mean, what are your feelings on your professional career?
Yeah, so I have zero regret, and that's what I wanted to walk away with my career. I'm having, you know, just knowing that I laid it all on the line and I gave it everything I had. And if I had the knowledge that I have now back then, I would still be playing. You know, I would, you have to overtrain to be able to accomplish something like that. But now I have the piece of, I would know how to take care of my body a lot better. But just things, so many things have changed. You know, we didn't have the recovery systems that they've built in, and the training has changed so much. I wouldn't have run near as many miles, you know, just to get shape. You know, I would have saved that for the course. I would have done a lot of things differently if I had the knowledge. But back then, with what I knew, you know, I knew I had given it everything I had. And yeah, it wasn't how I wanted my career to end, but I could walk away with no regret saying it, you know, I gave it everything I had.
It's widely well known about your work ethic as well. I think in high school and up to maybe even college, you were shooting 1,000 shots per day, which is just crazy, right? So talk a little bit about your work ethic and how you think that helped you with your career.
Yeah. So, I mean, whenever you're trying to accomplish something, you are going to have adversity. You're going to have tough times. And it's how you handle that, those moments. You'll either let it destroy you or you're going to let it drive you. And so I had broken my wrist my sophomore year in high school. And coming out of that cast, we're in the semis of the state tournament. I have one of the worst shooting performances of my career. I was 4 out of 21, you know, shots, and we only lost by a few points. And I was just disappointed, embarrassed, and I felt like I let my team down. And it would have been so easy for me to walk away from the game of basketball at that point and say, you know what, I'm not going to invest that much time. But I said, no, I want to be even better than before this injury. And that's when I vowed to make 1,000 shots every day. And I didn't have the gun, you know, where it's a rebounding machine where it's throwing, you know, passes back to me. I just had a toss back. So if I made it, it would slowly bounce back to me. If I miss, it's ricocheting off. You don't have to run after it. But it usually took me about 4 hours every day to make those 1,000 shots. But if I could bribe one of my siblings, it would maybe cut it in half, you know, 2.5 hours if I had a rebounder. But, you know, if it wasn't for that injury, I don't know if I'd be where I am today, because it just taught me the power, you know, of a work ethic. And, you know, I just had that much even more drive from that point on, that injury. So yeah, if you want to accomplish anything, there's no shortcuts. You've just got to be willing to put the work in day after day.
I think one of the most impressive things about you is you averaged 47 points a game in high school, and 47 points back then was just incredible. I mean, it's incredible now, but really incredible then. But I think that stat is somewhat misleading, because you hear about averaging that many points, you want to think, you know, you start to think like ball hog or something, but you also took pride in your assist and helping your team and helping the other players on your team. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's almost a little embarrassing, you know, saying I averaged, you know, 47 points a game. It's just because, you want to first think, okay, did she shoot it every time down the court? And that wasn't the case at all. I actually was a pretty low volume shooter, considering everything. And, you know, even my college coach, she always was on me, making sure that, you know, I used my teammates, I got them involved early, and then, you know, and I'd have the opportunity to get the ball back late in the game, because she knew that if everybody couldn't score, then we weren't going to reach the level that we wanted to reach. And she made sure that everybody maximized, you know, their potential on our team. And, you know, I always tell people this: if you want to be good, focus on making yourself better. But if you want to be great, you got to focus on making those around you better. We lift as we rise. And I've just always had that mentality in anything that I do. I just want to try to, you know, make all those people around me better. And so, in college, I just want people to think that I didn't shoot shoot the ball down the court every time. I shot a very high percentage. I think I was 50% from 3-point line my senior year in college. So I always try to take good shots and get my teammates some balls.
Join here with Jackie Stiles. This is KFMO Sports and Knuckleball Primetime live from the Barnes Studio. Jackie, tell us about some of the things that you're involved in now. We know that you do some player development and some camps and also some fitness stuff. So talk about some of the things that you're involved in now.
Well, so I was a college coach for the past 10 years, and I finished Coach Terry Cole's last couple years out at Oklahoma, Hall of Fame coach. So I was great that I got to learn from her, just such a legend, and I learned so much. But I had sold 3 homes in 2.5 years, and I decided that, you know, college coaching just wasn't for me anymore. I was diagnosed with a rare cancer in 2018. And if I'm not aligned with my core values, I quickly make a change. And just the way the game had changed, it just wasn't, you know, fulfilling my why anymore. And so I've always had a huge love for fitness. So I just jumped off a cliff and I decided to open a Next Gen Fitness. It's a private personal training studio in Springfield, because that's just been such a passion of mine. But in that time to get that open, it just took forever with COVID. And so the blessing is I started running camps because I needed some income. So basically I ran 25 camps my first summer. This past summer, I ran 35 camps for these 1-day clinics. And I go into smaller towns because I remember having to drive hours and hours to get to anything. So I like to go into the smaller communities and give them a chance to have a camp or host a camp. And so I've got over 30 now lined up for this next summer. And, you know, also now getting to help people through my passion of fitness and transform lives through that. So I just feel like I'm really aligned professionally. And really the first half of my career, I was selfishly focused on how can I be the best basketball player I can be. And now for the second half, it's how can I have the most significance over success? How can I align my gifts to help the most amount of people?
That's amazing. Can they go to JackieStiles.com and get all the information?
Yeah. You can reach me at jackstyles.com if you'd like to try out a free session at my fitness studio, or if you want to attend one of my camps, or I also do some speaking as well. So I would just love to help you in any way I can, because I know so many people sacrifice so I could live out my dreams.
Thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And thanks for all you do to grow our game. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 25,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you could talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions when it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom-picked for you, more scheduling flexibility, and at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/the barn. That's betterhelp, H-E-L-P.com/the barn.